Welcome to Sounds of the Season on WAER Syracuse. I'm Kevin Claus. Tonight we continue our four-part series all about music discovery. We're joined this evening by Patrick Tuohy from the Spark Contemporary Arts Space. Patrick, thanks so much for being a part of the show tonight.
And thank you for bringing me on. Appreciate it.
So you've kind of got an interesting space you guys have brought some life to recently. Can you talk a little bit just about the space that you guys have downtown and what you're hoping it can be for the community?
Sure. So Spark Contemporary Art Space, which is guided by that motto, Spark the Arts, is a small soundstage, a small art gallery, and then also combines elements of a movement space, which includes things like healing arts, yoga, other small performances. And then it's sort of become everything in between, facilitating poetry nights, open forums and discussions on various arts and media in the area. And really, we're just trying to be that tastemaker, small capacity spot for the arts and music in Syracuse.
So when you talk about sort of that void that you're trying to fill, is that something that stood out to you as this is something that's lacking locally here in central New York?
Definitely. You go to a lot of other cities that sort of share this, you know, industrial, suburban, college-driven environment. You know, you look at your New York cities, you look at your Detroits, you look at your LAs, whatever. There's a lot of pop-up, small-cap, artsy, quote-unquote, DIY sort of spaces. And Syracuse, despite being such a college-centric area with arts, music, culture dictated so much by college students, besides a couple of house show venues here and there, hasn't really had that sort of really artsy space that allows people some of their first opportunities to get up on stage, some of their first chances to show off an art installation. So it was definitely a void in the market. And of course, Spark has been around for a long while, but with so many change in hands of management, it was sort of hard to figure out, how do I participate more? How do I get involved? Unless you were a VPA student who was sort of grandfathered into it.
So is that something that you guys are focused on, really, is getting more people involved, some independent people, I guess I should say?
Definitely, because the Syracuse music community in particular is a breed on its own. You know, when a lot of people try to think about music in Syracuse, they're going to think about what bands are playing at bars, what bands are playing at major festivals, you know, who's the headliner on Balloon Fest. Mm-hmm. But realistically, there's this entire hardworking music community of artists creating their own original music, going to places like Subcat Studios or More Sound to cut an entire album of original compositions they've done. And the same goes for a lot of visual artists. You know, it's not just the people who wind up at the Everson. It's not just people who wind up at the end of a semester with their college projects at the warehouse across from what is now the old Red House. You know, it's a whole community of people who sometimes are a little shy, sometimes a little timid, so you kind of have to get them to break out.
Now, you're also involved locally in promoting and booking acts. When you go and you hear someone, what are you looking for when you're looking to maybe bring in an act? Is there something specific that you want to hear that's maybe a little different?
Well, I work with a lot of national and international artists, more national than international, but really we get solicited, meaning us at After Dark Presents, who also guides a lot of the national music bookings for Spark Contemporary Art Space. We get solicited by talent agents, booking agents, who have a whole roster of artists that they've sort of chosen because it really fits what's hot, what's in, what they find personally musically appealing, things they're willing to take a chance on. So they're kind of trying to sell us on that. And then we look for things that we enjoy in that. You know, we are tastemakers. We're trendsetters looking to figure out what's really going to come back in. Right now, it's things like acid rock. So, you know, we're definitely going to be looking for that. We pay a lot of attention to the recorded music industry and seeing, you know, how album sales are doing for mm-hmm. some people versus others. But, yeah, I'm looking for stuff that is going to fit a word-of-mouth environment, that sort of excitement, and flare those sparks a lot more than I am looking for stuff that you're getting constantly bombarded by through syndicated radio.
So just to maybe fill someone in who maybe listens to music but just doesn't know how groups necessarily fit into all those different categories, what's an example of someone who is in acid rock?
I'd say right now something that somewhat fits that, and in general it's just sort of very spacey rock that came my way that I really liked, although it's not something I've personally booked. There's this group called the Black Angels who had a really phenomenal release, I believe, in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. That was pretty phenomenal. And then branching out from that, too, there's a lot of just awesome indie sort of stuff that's been coming around. There's groups like, I just saw some dates announced for these acts, Girl Pool and Porches. Those are definitely good to pay attention to. And then there's a lot of people who are coming out from that lo-fi, emo, indie, upbeat sort of thing. Like we just had this group, Just Friends, play over at Spark, and they fit that. Another band that they're affiliated with, Mom Jeans, have been really making an upward turn. All these other groups with interesting names like Diet Sig and just anything that kind of sounds like Mom Jeans is probably pretty good right now.
So a lot of those names are names you're familiar with, but maybe your average listener's not familiar with. So are people coming out to see these lesser-known groups? So it definitely sounds like you are presenting shows that's giving people the opportunity to find new music. But do you find that people are taking that opportunity?
I definitely think they are, yeah. It is niche, and it can be, you know, I don't want to just go under the assumption that, oh, you just have to be in the know. You just need to know. But I think there's a certain level of accessibility coming up, and especially there's a lot of cross-platforming going on right now. There's a lot of the world of hip-hop and rap and things like that emo, indie, alternative genre that are now colliding, where people who were more set in sort of their rock ways are now willing to go out and check out these artists that they heard on SoundCloud who are rappers, but they're sampling acoustic guitars, they're sampling clean tones, they're doing a lot of things that really only just started to happen at large in the past 5 years. So I definitely think there's appeal to people, and you know, there's always the power of social media too that's really getting people in. But you know, with curated Spotify playlists and with the power of SoundCloud and also just other tastemakers who are just kind of Instagram icons, and a lot to do with the world of fashion. Things are sort of just all tumulting into one.
So as we get ready to take our first break of the evening, we're going to hear music from a couple of the groups that Patrick mentioned so far. We're going to kick things off with music by the Black Angels with their song Currency. Stay with us. We'll be back with more Sounds of the Season on WAER with Patrick Tuohy from the Spark Contemporary Arts Space after this quick break.
City Limits is examining the poverty crisis gripping the Syracuse community. And in the battle against poverty, there are many doing their part to assist those in need. The City Limits Project highlights those individuals and organizations through a sub-series entitled On the Front Lines. Broadcast of these stories is made possible by the Central New York Community Foundation in celebration of its 90-year anniversary.
Welcome back to Sounds of the Season on WAER Syracuse. I'm Kevin Kloss. We just heard music by Girl Pool with the song It Gets More Blue. Tonight we're talking with Patrick Tuohy from the Spark Contemporary Art Space. And Patrick, right now I kind of want to start to get into the idea of music discovery. So obviously, you get solicited, obviously, by different groups. But as someone who's in the business of bringing in groups to your venue and then also, you know, promoting and booking, what's sort of your method for finding some of this new music, other than just listening to things that are obviously sent to you?
Well, I have to have my fingers on the pulse of what's going on in Syracuse in particular. And what we've done a really good job of, I'd like to think, is keeping a very active list of artists in the area and segmenting them into, just like how you would segment email groups, you know, by genre typically, and by region too, because, you know, we book from Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, beyond. So we try to constantly talk with musicians in the area, and what's good about that in keeping a list of who they would fit with, it helps us better guide our decisions on what national acts to book, because it's really hard to get away with booking national acts without having regional support bands playing mm-hmm. under them. So realistically, I might choose not to book a certain national act, not because I don't think it's great, I don't think it has merit, but maybe I just don't think there's the regional support to add to it. So I'm actually making a lot of my decisions based off of who's playing what in my own neighborhood. And I seek those acts out by not sneaking into other shows and jotting down notes and trying to go, oh, here's my competition, but really trying to be friendly and communicate with everyone. So it's definitely not just, hey, you have to come to me. It's a lot of I have to figure out friends of friends. And the college, again, they're the real tastemakers. They're only here for about 4 years at a time. But in that 4 years, you learn a lot of what they want. And a lot of what they enjoy actually starts to seep outwards into the suburbs. And people of a similar age demographic start to get turned on to what they're turned on to.
So you've used the phrase a couple of times now that I think maybe it's important to have you unpack. When you say that, the students at Syracuse University are taste makers, expand that out a little bit. What does that mean when you say they're taste makers?
So a taste maker in this case would be sort of brand advocates in a sense, and as corporate as that sounds. So it's really what it would be on perhaps the most accessible, easy to understand level is they, meaning the students, mm-hmm. are actively, you know, not to make it sound corny, but, you know, trying to figure out what's hip, what's against the grain, what can be avant-garde, and their willingness to endorse that brand, even as small as it may be at a given point, and sort of create these little subsections of culture and really just form such a strong emotional connection with it. You know, that's them trying to make everyone else care about it, but at the same time have nobody muddy it or sully it, have nobody touch it at the same time. You know, look at this thing that we've sort of put on a pedestal that we really enjoy, but also don't make it uncool in a sense. Hmm. So, yeah, so the tastemakers are the people who have thousands of followers on Instagram, and you sort of go, why is this? It seems they're just sort of this college student, but, you know, they have a really good sense of fashion. They have a really good sense of the music that is sometimes more fashion than it is music, but that's fine. It just matters that it resonates with people. So, yeah, they're the ones that before you know it's been dictated to you are dictating this is the band you're going to see at a stadium show however many years from now. Probably like the early days of the 1975. A lot of that was guided by just younger people really latching on and being emotionally invested and dedicating their social media to an extent to that group. And now they're top of the world.
Just a handful of minutes ago, you sort of alluded to, you know, the dynamics of putting together a show with the national act and then the local supporting group. Can you think of sort of an example maybe recently of who you paired together that when you saw them on stage on that night, you went, this just worked great as a night?
Sure. I think probably one of the most accessible things that just went down and also an all-around phenomenal show was we had the reggae dub artist Mike Love play Funkin' Waffles downtown. Mm-hmm. And although I can't take credit for building this bill out, our company definitely took a great lead on this. The two supporting acts were the groups Annie and the Water, and below them, this artist Clam the Great. It just worked out great because it was this perfect consistency and blend of high-level songwriting and live performance capabilities, and also they just fit that. You know, it wasn't straight reggae and dub for the supporting artists, but they had those elements of what Mike Love had, so that by the time you saw Mike Love, nobody was groaning for it to be over. That's kind of the, without giving away trade secrets, the ultimate build that you can construct is not the same thing, you know, 3 to 5 times over. It's, do these artists share characteristics of the headliner but have their own unique sound that might actually be outside of the genre that the headliner itself is. So that was, I think that was a great example. Funk was completely packed that night. I even personally, I don't normally listen to that realm of music. So to be drawn in like that as the person representing the show was just, you know, that was a great blend.
Now, I know for me, working in the media, it has changed the way I consume media. I will hear something and I'll instantly have a reaction to, oh, that was really good, or, oh, they need to fix this. Has being a music promoter and booking musical acts, does that change the way you consume music when you hear it? Do you hear it differently now?
Definitely. Not to sound calloused, but I definitely have this, I guess there's less excitement to an extent. So the way I consume music sometimes is more by numbers. Not to say this person has to sell this much or this person has to be ranked here on Billboard or whatever. But there's definitely as much a statistical analysis as there is a creative analysis. I try my best to be a tastemaker in and of myself and try to introduce the things that I personally enjoy while also taking the time to recognize that sometimes the market's just not ready for it from a statistical level. But in terms of actual music consumption, as so far as to buy music and listen to it on a daily basis, I'm still mainly geared towards buying CDs. I have a really large record collection myself. I still buy cassettes. I have a Walkman. So I'm very pro physical media still, and I think a lot of people are headed in that direction. There's a interesting gap that's been created in the past 10 or so years where streaming has gone up and so too has sort of obsolete media that, or at least so it was thought, like cassettes and records. But in the middle, CDs and, you know, sort of buying permanent digital downloads, that has actually gone down. But actually, radio consumption with your Sirius channels and all that has also gone up. So three things have gone up significantly that we didn't really think would. Three things have gone down that everyone thought was going to be perfect. Oh, I love my WAV files on CDs, but a lot of people now don't, except for me. I still go down to Soundgarden whenever I can and purchase. So
I'm really fascinated by the idea of what goes into putting together the perfect bill like we just talked about. So as we get set to take our next break, I think we're going to hear music from a couple of the artists you mentioned in regards to putting together that perfect bill and a bill that you had recently that went really well. You know, you mentioned Mike Love and Annie in the Water. So we're going to take our break right now. We're going to hear music from both of those groups, but stay with us. We're going to come back. We'll talk more with Patrick Tuohy from the Spark Contemporary Art Space. You're listening to Sounds of the Season on WAER, your local NPR station from Syracuse University.
Support comes from California Closets on Erie Boulevard in DeWitt, working with clients to help transform spaces that change the way they live. From closets to media centers and garages, information including real-life examples of how California Closets has helped make an impact with real client stories online at californiaclosets.com.
Welcome back to Sounds of the Season on WAER. I'm Kevin Kloss. Thanks for being with us this evening for part three of our four-part series all about music discovery. Tonight, we're speaking with Patrick Tuohy from the Spark Contemporary Art Space. And Patrick, with this next line of questioning, let's get a little personal if we can. Do you have a guilty pleasure of music? Maybe a group artist you really enjoy? Maybe you just don't know why?
Hands down, yeah. I'm a massive Lana Del Rey fan, which, you know, I think it's genuinely good music, so it's kind of hard to say that's a guilty pleasure, but it's one of those things where it's so overly the top effeminate to where it's sort of it's exaggerated. It's really exaggerating the femme characteristics to the point where I actually know a lot of females who don't even like it. But I love Lana Del Rey. And then I also, as kind of a small subgenre, there's a subgenre called PC music, which is basically really exaggerated synth pop vocal music, and it's sort of one of those post-ironic things that it knows what it's doing to itself, but it's now just kind of become really nicely crafted pop music. And so, you know, its origins are sort of silly, but that's a guilty pleasure. But in terms of someone we all know as a guilty pleasure, definitely would have to go with a Lana Del Rey type.
Who is someone who fits into that genre that I've never heard of? PC?
PC music, yeah. The most well-known is this girl, Hannah Diamond. And she's just, you know, it's very heavily vocoded, sort of super edited vocals over the top, all synth leads and what have you. But Hannah Diamond is just, that's my guilty pleasure. And what's interesting about it lyrically is it's just so, it's so non-offensive to where that's kind of what makes it so post-ironic, is that it's all your sort of love, heartbreak tropes, but even more hands-off than the average pop musician. So, you know, it's sort of like, well, why would I listen to this versus pop music that's on the radio? Well, I guess because it's made by people who are ironically doing it, as silly as that sounds. So
if we were to get a look at your playlist right now, what are some of the names who we'd see either at the top of your playlist or maybe reoccurring within your personal playlist?
Sure. Well, the best way, in my opinion, to figure out what our new releases is to go down to a place like Soundgarden Syracuse and check out what's on that front counter, what's in front of you. And also that band Just Friends that we recently booked. Just Friends have been leaking some new tracks, and I would definitely, that will lead you into a whole world of stuff. These acts, Mom Jeans, Just Friends, Remo Drive, Diet Sig, all of that. That's a great place if you like indie rock but are looking for something that's a little more lo-fi and are made by people who maybe that wasn't their first intention. So
I'm so interested to hear you talk about stressing the importance of maybe going down to places like Soundgarden and see what they have laid out there. You know, with the way Amazon is willing to ship you anything in 2 days, and more online retailers are going to get it in 48 hours, you would still say there's a lot of validity to going down to a local record store and seeing what they're putting out front.
Definitely. You know, just from my past 2 years' experience having actually worked at Soundgarden while I was sort of making the transition to being a talent buyer and promoter full-time, you know, when the last Mary J. Blige record dropped, you know, everyone was going down to pick it up there. You know, that's when everyone was calling in to see what's up. You know, everyone calling in to see did the new Kanye West mixtape drop, or actually I guess I should say the new Drake mixtape. You know, everyone's putting in the calls so they can come down and pick it up there. Which I think this was two really amazing selling albums that are still just keep flying off the shelves even after as long as they've been on. Kendrick Lamar's Damn just keeps moving. And the amount of physical product that it moves is really, it's groundbreaking in my opinion to see that many CDs for a super active hip-hop rap artist and to keep doing. And the Black Panther original soundtrack, which featured Kendrick Lamar on that as well, that just seems to keep on moving from what I see. So it's weird to me because I would think that streaming, and it does dominate, but streaming and anything digital would dominate the world of really accessible top of the world rap, but most people seem to try and come down and pick up a physical copy of something like that. And actually Kendrick Lamar's Damn on vinyl moves like crazy. And when Childish Gambino released, I can't remember the name of the album, the one that was a massive departure that he was actually doing sort of this soul funk sort of thing, that constantly I see that moves on CD and on vinyl too, and some crazy 3D collector's vinyl set that he did. But Yeah, especially in the most popular genres right now of rap, hip-hop, pop, physical product still moves really well.
If I asked you to give me a name of someone who's new on your radar, you've seen good things from them, and you think this is a name we need to be listening for in the next couple of years, who's someone you could give me?
I am just going to kind of keep coming back to that band, Mom Jeans or Just Friends.
Okay.
Mom Jeans and Just Friends, they're going to really take over. It's not the sort of things that you find in store constantly, but it's definitely, if you look it up online, you're going to stumble upon it. If you go onto YouTube, you're going to, so definitely. And also the group Graduating Life. So Mom Jeans, Graduating Life, Just Friends, they all share a lot of the same members. They're sort of this collective in a sense. And just dropping one thing more, I think in the world of rap, hip hop, collectives like that, I think groups like Brockhampton are really going to take over. I think they already have. I know they just recently parted ways with one member, but I still think that they're super, super on top, Brockhampton. And yeah, I guess kind of taking the best from those three worlds, that's really what I see taking a super massive takeover.
And before we let you go, I would be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit more about your space downtown with Spark.
Sure.
So it's clearly taken a step forward in the last year or so. What is the vision for you guys moving forward?
Well, so right now it's been a very long, tedious process of trying to renovate the space. And we've done everything we can to make it look pretty in the meantime. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you don't realize how difficult they are to maintain until you get there with just simply painting the walls or just organizing sound equipment, so on and so forth. But really the goal is to continue the idea of soundstage, art gallery, a movement space for the healing arts and yoga, etc. We have a little used book, used vinyl consignment store at the moment. We'd love to keep that going. Slowly working to introduce a cafe element, cold brews on taps. We did make a huge stride in taking on a company called Brewed Awakening. So kind of all that stuff is just sort of sitting there, really. If anybody's sort of wondering, why haven't we seen certain developments in the physical landscape yet? Why haven't we seen the cafe yet? It's more just a matter of it takes a long time, especially in a middle market like Syracuse, to properly go through zoning, codes, permits, etc. Sometimes these projects can take years. Sometimes they can be expedited a little more depending on your cash flow. But that's where we're headed. And also, hopefully, transforming the entire building after a given point while also making sure we're in league with the residents who live above us, because there is residency that lives above us, to make sure that we can try and do artist residency at a certain point. There's now an office that exists up there, transforming a larger apartment of the ones that are in there into, you know, a working office for an events company. So yeah, I mean, hopefully it can just become this entire arts and music facility, and there's going to be other venues that pop up in Syracuse. There's going to be other people who get wise and see the need to then create far larger capacity spaces, but this is the space where I think it can all begin for everyone. I've done a lot of people's first shows there on a lot of different fronts, a lot of different mediums, so hopefully it's just going to be this really, I guess, not so super underground anymore between the press and the media that it's gotten, and also the fact that student housing is being built up every day right across the street from us. But it's just, there's no better way to explain it than this is the tastemaker spot. And before your favorite artists, like the group Screaming Females, that actually, that's another group people should check out, indie group. You know, before they were now playing all these larger club shows, they were playing house shows in Syracuse. So, you know, that's kind of what Spark is before people are breaking, whatever, 100 fans at a live show, that's where they are. They're going to be playing that small sound stage. And we're working with real agencies, real massive agencies, and they're willing to use that room for their artists who their production sometimes actually overextends the bounds, but they're cramming it in there, and they love the space. Their tour managers think it's awesome. It fits the vibes. And so just this arts and music facility that is going to give people a lot of first steps in their career.
Exciting. Look forward to seeing more from Spark moving forward. Patrick Tuohy, thanks so much for coming on tonight and just talking about the musical landscape here in Syracuse.
For sure. Thank you.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Sounds of the Season here on WAER Syracuse. Join us next week when we'll be joined by Talia Schlanger, host of The World Cafe. As we wrap up our show this evening, the band that Patrick mentioned more than any other band, Mom Jeans, it seems like that's the best way to close out the show this evening. So we end things tonight by playing a song called Glamorous by Mom Jeans. You've been listening to Sounds of the Season on WAER Syracuse. I'm Kevin Kloss. Good night.